We study tonight Zechariah chapter 11. And this wondrous chapter of prophetic scripture, when opened to our hearts, presents things that are wondrous indeed, and things that demonstrate that we are looking into the book of God, that we're looking to His Word, that no one but God Himself could give us what is found in Holy Scripture and in this chapter, this wondrous chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter, beginning at verse 1. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of slaughter, whose possessors shall slay them, and hold themselves not guilty. And they shall sell them. They that sell them shall say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. And their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men every one into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king. And they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called Beauty, and the other I called Bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. And that is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even Beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even Bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Now we move from what was taught, of course, in chapter 10, and what was taught in chapter 10 was a blessing that was to come, to chapter 11, and in chapter 11 we move from blessing to cursing. And of course this is the way often in God's Word He sets before us blessing and cursing. And prophetically, the nation would be blessed and would return to the land in fulfillment of the promise of God, And that we read in the 10th chapter. And that took place during what we call the interbiblical period, and the land was again prosperous, particularly as we learned in the days of the Maccabees. But we get to chapter 11 and we find out that conditions would again arise which would bring the nation to shame, to disbasement, and which would reach its height in the time of Christ. There would come the final manifestation of God's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, the good shepherd, who would come to the nation. There would come then the final rejection of God through the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there would come the final destruction, irrevocable, and the dispersion that would take place upon carnal Israel. All of these things are found in this 11th chapter of Zechariah. In verses 1 through 3, we read, "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled." Now these figures are very important because they have to do, of course, with the nation Israel. And this is an early prediction of the destruction that is going to come. And the symbolism is rather common. It's rather dramatic. We know that Lebanon and its cedars represent Judah and its shepherds. You'll find that, for instance, in Ezekiel chapter 17. As we say, Jeremiah's prophecy is rooted in former prophecies. And that's rather important to know. And it involves the rulers, the mighty, in verse 2, and others. So that Lebanon here, the trees of Lebanon, represent the forest and the people. The men therein in the city, or the people in the city, are represented by trees. There's something else with the cedar and the cypress. Something else with the particular trees that are mentioned. The cedars and the cypress trees particularly were used in the construction of a particular edifice. And what was that? The temple. And the temple, of course, also represented the people of Israel. And here, of course, it is in the context of a judgment that is to take place. The spoiling of verse 3 corresponds to the fire of verses 1 and 2. It speaks of the devastation of judgment, as in Jeremiah. We'll be making some references to Jeremiah during this message. But in Jeremiah chapter 25 and in verses 34 through 38, Jeremiah 25, 34 through 38, here is the howling of the shepherds. "Howl, you shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and an howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord hath spoiled their pasture. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken the covert as the lion, and their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger." So what we learn in these first three verses of Jeremiah is that devastation is coming. And it shall take place indeed. And why will this devastation come? Well, that's found in the next verses. And what it involves is the final rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God would send to the nation. In verses 4 through 6, we read, "Thus saith the Lord God, feed the flock of the slaughter." Zechariah here is speaking, but the Spirit of Christ is speaking in him, as Peter said in 1 Peter 1, that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. "Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them, and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. And their own shepherds pity them not, for I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand will I not deliver them." The apostate nation will be given over to foreign domination. Of course, that's not the only time that has happened. They just returned from Babylonian captivity, and they are still under the Persian power. And they will again be given over to foreign domination. God would deliver them also to internal strife, neighbor against neighbor, the neighbor's hand, and to external rule. When it speaks of the hand of his king, that can only be speaking of foreign rule, because Israel would no longer have a native king from Zechariah's time to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod was not a king of the Jews in the sense of what the biblical king was. So the foreign rulers would come and they would eventually smite the land. That's the very same language, similar language to what Daniel, the prophet, used when he was giving us the prophecy of the 70 prophetic weeks, or the 490 years in which God would accomplish his purpose. And we learned in the prophet Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 26, about a prince that would come, and that's the Roman prince. We know him as Titus. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." So there will come this destruction again. It will come from another prince called a king in our verse. And yet God will feed the flock of the slaughter. In verses 7 through 9, "And I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called Beauty, and the other I called Bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. And that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another." Now, the shepherd's staff in Scripture shows his defense of the flock. That is a symbol of his defense. You remember in Psalm 23, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God is the protector, of course, of his people. And so the shepherd's staff would stay the final disaster. It would stay the final disaster only as long as the faithful shepherd, or the good shepherd, continued to be among them. In verse 7, "And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called Beauty, and the other I called Bands, and I fed the flock." Now, of course, things change. There are those poor of the flock that would remain. there are those who we learn are called the remnant that would be indeed saved and would be under the shepherdship of the faithful shepherd, of the good shepherd. But we learn on in verses 8 and 9, three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. Beauty, as far as I can determine biblically, signifies the manifestation of God to His people, the mercy of God in preserving them, His presence among them. David, you remember in Psalm 27:4, could write something wondrous. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." There's a beauty when God is with us. There's a beauty that transcends all things. There's the wondrous in that of the manifestation of God's wondrous mercy to us. Bands signifies the relative union that God would give to the nation during the period of grace, as we see what will happen when the band is broken in verse 14. "Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel." Now, in the midst of this, during this time, there would be the three shepherds that would be cut off. Now, the three shepherds that guided the nation of Israel were three offices. There would be the kingly office, only they didn't have a king, so it would be the prince or the governors or the civil authorities. And there were two other offices. What were they? Prophet and priest. Those three offices would be in Israel. They were the ones that guide them. Three offices, three shepherds. Also, I cut off in 1 month. Shepherds here signifying those and those particular offices. "And my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me." So, these three, by the way, made up in the days of our Lord the Jewish Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jewish nation. And, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned them in Mark 8 and verse 31 when He speaks of His crucifixion that would take place through these in the Sanhedrin. And it is they to whom the Lord Jesus Christ referred in John chapter 10 and in verses 1 and 2, who would not enter in to the door, but were thieves and were robbers. And of course, finally, the nation would be left to destruction, as we will learn in verse 9. "Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another." Now, the cutting off of the three shepherds, how were those offices fulfilled? In Christ, in one person. When He came, the one who was to fulfill the kingly office, the one who was indeed the high priest and the priest after the order of Melchizedek, and the one who was the prophet of prophets that Moses spoke of in Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee among thy brethren," He says, "like unto me." So that we have the one that would fulfill all of those offices. They would but point forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd of the sheep, the one who alone can shepherd the flock of God. And yet, what did they do? Did they receive their shepherd? No, they didn't. And those three shepherds, the offices and those in them, were cut off. So is it any coincidence that since then there is no prophet, priest, or king in Israel? They have no king, they have no priest, they have no prophets. So of course, we know how that has come into fulfillment. It would be done in a very short period of time, as we learn in 1 month. And then we have here the reason for the desolation that would come, the destruction and dispersion of the nation. It would come because of the rejection of the Good Shepherd. In verses 10 through 14. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I'd made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something up front. This prophecy is rooted. Its primary rooting is in Jeremiah. And it is drawn from the prophet Jeremiah. So, the announcement in verse 9, I will not feed you, is followed by what we read here by the account of its fulfillment. God would break His covenant with the people. And of course, it's speaking of the nation, the carnal nation, the outward nation. He would break His covenant with them. And of course, we read all about the old covenant and its end in the New Testament scriptures. He would remove His staff, beauty. Now, if as we consider that to be the manifestation of God in His truth, in His word, in the blessings He gave to the nation, that would be removed. And the light, of course, would be removed from them. You read in prophetic scripture about the sun being darkened or the moon being turned to blood. Those particular figures in Scripture are very important. It's like, I think it's in the prophet Micah that speaks of the time would come when the sun would go down upon the prophets. There would be darkness. The sun would be darkened. There is the removing of the Word of God, the truth of God. There's the removing of the divine light from the nation. So that that would take place, as we understand prophetically. And all the beauty of God would be removed from the carnal nation. Isn't that a horrible thought? And that, of course, would take place. And yet there would be the poor of the flock who waited. These were the sheep, the true sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions them in the great shepherd sheep chapter, the sovereign shepherd and his sheep in John chapter 10. And so the remnant would be there, the elect within the nation, and who would hear and who would receive the word of Christ. They would escape the awful judgment that would come, a judgment we know that would take place in 70 AD, that would come by the Roman armies under the commander, the general Titus, and destroy the nation. At that time, if you ever read about that in, for instance, Josephus, the Jewish historian, you'll find out that as many Jews turned on themselves as did the foreign invaders. They killed each other, just exactly, of course, like we have recorded in here in Zechariah chapter 11. It was a horrible period of time. And the judgment would come for the utter contempt and the rejection of God in Christ. who had come to the nation, as in verses 12 and 13. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Of course, we know how that was fulfilled. But this price, this 30 pieces of silver, was a contemptuous thing. It represented the contempt for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in a very high way. You see, 30 pieces of silver in the Old Testament, as in Exodus chapter 21, was the price of a servant, a menial servant, who had been gored by an ox. And in Hosea chapter 3, it was the price that a slave was purchased for. Matter of fact, the cross was reserved for the most menial slaves and those. So he who is God over all, who came to his own and his own received him not, submitted himself to the death of the cross and to the greatest of contempt. And that, of course, is also signified by the purchase of 30 pieces of silver, by which he broke the covenant with the people. It was over. There was no more covenant with them. There was no more relationship with them. He broke that covenant. And of course, that the intent was to take the life of the good shepherd. We know that from Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. There would indeed be those who would come to know him. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Not expounding that, but just showing that their purpose was to take the life of the shepherd. As in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. But now when he speaks of the potter's field, that's rather significant. It shows us that the prophecy of Zechariah is rooted in Jeremiah. That what Jeremiah had to say about the potter's field has its meaning, as we learn in relation to this, which was written through the prophet Zechariah. And that's rather important as to what that signifies. If you look into Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah chapter 19. And we'll read the first six verses. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests. And go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom. That's rather important. The valley of Hinnom was right outside the eastern gate of the city, which is by the entry of the east gate. Well, I just said that, didn't I? I didn't read far enough. Which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. God is the potter here that Jeremiah is speaking of. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. And to show what this is speaking of, verse 6, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Now, keep those things in mind, that the valley of Hinnom is also the valley of slaughter, as we learn here. And in chapter 19 of Jeremiah, and in verse 11, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. So you tell me, what kind of interpretation will say that it's going to be made whole again? It is clear, and it's clear in Scripture, that destruction and dispersion was final, that the nation of Israel, the external, the carnal nation, shall never, ever again be in covenant with God. That's over. That's done. Read this again. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Now, Tophet, or the Valley of Hinnom, called the Valley of Slaughter, that was a place outside the city, as we said, the eastern gate of Jerusalem, that looked toward the region of the Gentiles. And when the money, and of course this is prophetical in Jeremiah and in Zechariah, when the 30 pieces of silver was cast away and was made use of to bury strangers in, of course they were buried outside the city gate because Gentiles could not be buried where the Jews were buried. And of course they were going to make use of that money for that. And it's rather important that to understand that there was also at the mouth of the Valley of Hinnom a place where there was white clay, the finest clay. When the temple potters were to make the finest of the vessels for the temple, they got their clay from that place, from the mouth of the entrance of the Valley of Hinnom. Well, Hinnom in the New Testament, in the Greek, is Gehenna. And Gehenna is the strongest word for hell that we have. And what we learn in Jeremiah is that God would break the bottle, but He would make another one. He would make another bottle. And the finest of the clay was taken from the mouth of the Valley of Hinnom. There would be those who were, as it were, on the precipice of death and hell, who were not in relationship with God, who were far off. And God would make them into His Israel, His vessel. Who are they? The Gentiles. When you looked out the eastern gate, you looked to the region of the Gentiles. God snatched you and me that are saved by His grace out of the mouth of hell and made us His own. Isn't that wondrous? So you see, this prophecy has its necessary rooting in Jeremiah. Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. And verses 3 through 10. Of course, we know that in Zechariah we're on prophetic ground. There's spiritual teaching. There's the literal fulfillment, but it's never without its spiritual teaching as well. So he moves from the literal to that which must be understood spiritually that God is doing as the potter's valley, as where the clay is taken to make the new vessel. And of course, that's very important. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, Matthew 27:3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. They didn't know that they were paying for their own funeral, did they? But the potter's field. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him whom they that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now, there are those higher critics, they're so smart, that they figured out we've got now a mistake in the divine volume. But the mistake is in them. The word attributed to Jeremiah is deliberately used. It's deliberately used because the whole of the prophecy is springing from Jeremiah, chapters 18 and 19. So God the Holy Spirit is directing us to take a look at those chapters where we find that God Himself is the one who breaks Israel, the potter, and that He makes another vessel. And that other vessel is the true Israel of God, comprised of the poor of the flock among the nation and the Gentiles who are far off. No, there is no mistake. There's a direction for us to look distinctly to Jeremiah, where the rooting and the primary meaning of Zechariah's prophecy is to be found. This is the Word of God. There is no mistake. After the nation was forsaken, awful discord arose. The Jews destroyed one another, as well as the Roman army devastating them, as we said, as we have in verse 14. Then I cut asunder mine own staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And then there comes this curse of blind leaders in verses 15 through 17. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd, for I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be darkened. Well, it's a principle in Scripture. When men turn their ears to fables, what happens? They're given false teachers. Oh, they may believe them, But they'll end up believing a lie. They will have a strong delusion. Foolish shepherd here speaks of the body of bad rulers and leaders in antithesis to the good shepherd. And so that in refusing the true, what did they get? The false. In not heeding and listening, they got the false. They turned from the true God. They would end up in an idolatry that would remain through their rabbinical leaders. Because God had come, had manifest Himself, revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. How important is it that we listen to the true, that we respond to the true under God? So important that when we do not listen and we do not hear and we come to make use of our own minds and we figure things out instead of hearing, we end up in idolatry. And the misrepresentation of the living God. The foolish are those who are judicially blinded. God would judge the nation in giving them bad rulers and bad teachers. And it's a very solemn thing. To turn from the true is the most dangerous thing one could ever do. To reject the Lord of glory, the Christ who came to them, put them in a position as the broken potter's vessel that would never be put back together, exactly as Jeremiah said. Rather, they would be a new vessel that the potter would make. So said the Lord Jesus in Matthew 21:43, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." It's not the replacement theology that those who despise these things speak of. Because you see, there was the poor of the flock, and God would add the massive number of Gentiles to them. The true Israel would simply continue, but under a new covenant. You see, the old one had been broken. And under a new covenant, God would have a new Israel, a people with newness of life, a new Jerusalem. And that was clearly taught. It's an incredible chapter, isn't it? This is the Word of God, not the Word of man. Everything in it, not a single word, is to be ignored. And when God says Jeremiah was responsible for that prophecy, he was. It's all rooted there. And the Holy Spirit is directing us to look to that prophet to understand what Zechariah was teaching. Nothing but devastation can await those who forsake their own mercy. The things of God, we live in such a loose day that people think they can ignore the things of God. They can neglect the things of God and get by with it. They don't. They end up rejecting the truth and rejecting the God who is true. All of the time thinking themselves right and okay. There is a good shepherd. There's a great shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd does what? Giveth his life for the sheep. The evil shepherds, they did what they did for themselves. They didn't care about the flock. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And he said, I am come that they what? That they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. And from a mouth of hell, God snatched us. Took us as clay from the valley of Hinnom. The entrance to Gehenna. And made us His own. Blessed be God.